Your business exists because you had the idea to start it. Everything begins in our minds. That's why your business results cannot outgrow your current level of thinking. Do you want to serve more clients, make more money, without working more or burning yourself out? Grow yourself first as a leader of your business, because that's who you are, a leader, even if you're the only person in your business right now. When you lead yourself first, the business results will always follow. My name is Maggie Perrotin. I'm an international business and leadership coach, an expert in business mindset, strategy, and high performance. I created the Diamond Effect podcast to help you elevate your thinking, expand your perspective, and through it, grow your business without overwhelm. So let's get started. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 16 of Diamond Effect podcast. Today, we'll talk about our clients, customers, not only the ones that we want to attract and the new ones we sign, but especially the ones that you have today and maybe the previous ones that you would like to come back. Because it got me thinking, you know, again, worrying that Thanksgiving period, right after Canadian Thanksgiving, right before American Thanksgiving. And when I look at my clients and I think about them, I'm always grateful for having the opportunity to coach them. I'm always grateful to them for trusting in me, of being able to help them grow their businesses. And I love my clients. So before we start, I did want to ask you if you took up a challenge from last Motivational Monday for gratefulness and appreciation, and how is it going? And if you haven't listened to Motivational Monday from last week, you have to listen. I'm challenging you to go on to this gratitude and thankfulness journey with me between the two holidays. But let's go back to our clients. So the first question I have for you today is, do you, you know, out of your current clients, do you love your clients? Are your clients the high quality, your ideal best clients? And if the answer is no, then my next question for you is why? Why do you sign or attract clients that are not your ideal clients, or why don't you love your clients? Are you irritated in your business? Are you losing maybe the spark or the fun out of your business? And if that's the case, I really, really want to offer you for you to take time to think, to pause and ask why. And I'm not going to go into details in that, but in the free training and workshop that I did early September, 6 steps to signing high quality clients consistently, I did talk about 10 reasons why that might be the case, possible reasons, and I went into details with that. So if you haven't participated in this training or haven't watched it, I do have a recording that you can get for free. I'll put it in the show notes. I highly recommend you do that. But today, excuse me, I have a bit of a cold as I'm recording it. I wanted to talk about our client journey, because when we think about it, you know, our businesses exist and your business exists to serve your clients, right? You started it for many reasons, but one of the primary reasons you started it is because you have a skill and you saw the need in the market for that skill, and you saw the need that your ideal clients had. So your main reasons in the business is really to serve your clients. Now, the way you serve your clients and how you structure your business and your offer becomes really your competitive advantage. And when your clients are happy, of course, their happiness, their satisfaction with how you solve their problem, how you help them achieve their goals, is the best way to sign new clients. That's the best marketing, word of mouth marketing, referrals, you know, clients raving about you is the best way. It's the cheapest way. It's the, you know, least, I guess, stressful way to sign new clients. That's why today I do want to break down the customer journey into six sort of steps and stages and go over very high level them just to get you thinking about it in these terms and maybe get you to look at each stage of the client or your client's customer journey and see if there's any ways to improve. I believe we can always improve, even if we're amazing at what we do and we're excellent at what we do. You know, when things work great to the point where you actually need to change something to further grow your business, that's the best place to be in. And the only way you can figure it out when you actually take time to think and pause and look at things from more of an intentional and strategic perspective. So what is the client journey? So it's really the first step is from the moment your client or your potential ideal client meets you, and that's your marketing, right? So how the clients get in touch with you, how they meet you, how they know who you are, this happens all in the marketing. And then the second stage is the sales process. So now they're really interested and they realizing you can help them. And then how is that process looking from their perspective, right? Because their perspective and their experience is different for you. It might be different what you might think it is for them. Then you have an onboarding process. So the client signed, they're happy and excited. Then you're onboarding them. The fourth stage is while they're being your customer, your client, while you're delivering the services and they're benefiting from them. Then the fifth step is when that part of a journey ends and whether they become your client again, maybe you're selling them a different service or re-signing them for the service or whatever the case might be. Or maybe the last stage is when that relationship ends for a period of time. And then what happens after? Okay. So those are the six stages we'll talk about quickly today. And I hope it will be helpful for you to kind of pinpoint maybe a couple of areas where you could improve or you could think about and tweak things to get even better. So the first stage, marketing. And the first thing I want to say, if you don't love marketing and if you're not excited about marketing your business, I would offer you a thought or a question. Why not? Marketing is the way how you meet your ideal clients, how you show them that you understand them, that you're there for them, that you have a solution to their problem. And for me, that's super exciting. When I think that I have an opportunity, even here in this podcast, to somehow build a relationship with all those fabulous clients, you know, people that listen, and even if out of whatever amount of people listen, one thinks, hey, Maggie can help me, that excites me. That makes me want to record this podcast over and over and over. And that's with any other type of marketing that I do for my business. So I want to, you know, urge you or even challenge you to get to love your marketing and look at your marketing from the client's perspective. So when my clients, ideal clients, meet me, what do they see? What do they read? What do they listen? What I think is their first impression and that journey with me in many on different platforms, right? Or in many different ways, whatever you market your business. Have a look at that from that impression. And if it's challenging for you to kind of take your brain outside of you being a business owner and put yourself in the client's shoes, then ask somebody to help you do that, right? Even if it's a friend, your mentor, whatever, accountability partner, or maybe a client that you have a really good relationship with, ask them to sort of look at that and give you some feedback. The another thing that I want to say is outside of that, like when they give you your feedback, you know, do listen to them, right? So are you listening to your client? Are you asking questions? And when you understand them and get to know them, are you including that in your marketing to show them that you know them, to show them that you're listening? And that, for example, you know, we go very deep in the Diamond Effect coaching program because that's the way you can create compelling marketing and compelling content online and, you know, whatever newsletters, however you're communicating with the clients, even in the networking events, right? So we get very clear on that. So you can get very clear on your messaging. So then, hey, it's exciting because then, of course, when you see your ideal clients respond to you, right, through your marketing, you know that the way you communicate with them speaks to them. So yes, so your marketing, have a look at that from your client's perspective, you know, listen, ask questions, maybe get somebody to look at your marketing and give you some feedback and see if there is any way you can get even better engagement and attract more of your high quality, like your best clients that you love working with. Now, the second stage is sales process, right? So what is your sales process? And they can be very different. You can have consult conversations. Maybe you're selling through a funnel. Maybe, you know, it's mostly networking or at this point, maybe word of mouth and people just come, right? Depending on where you are in your business. But have a look at that. And again, look at that from your client's perspective. When they go through that, do they feel like they're heard? Do they feel like they're really empowered to make a decision? Are you giving your clients enough information to make the best decision for them, right? Because not necessarily very often, but when we think of sales being pushy or we don't want to sound salesy, we do the minimal type of information. We withhold the information from the fear of being too pushy or not boasting and so on. But then at the same time, we hope that our clients will understand enough about how we can help them and so on and make the right decision. But what if they can't, right? What if without all the information about your offer, about how you're helping them, how you're solving the problem, they just can't make the best decision for them? So then they don't make a decision because they don't have enough information, right? So the default will be, well, it's too risky. I don't know. I'm not going to make a decision. And they go on unhelped. And I want to give you an example. Excuse me, just getting some water. I want to give an example. Like, let's just think, and maybe you had that experience. You're going to buy a car. And it's the same with services, so it doesn't matter. But you're going to go buying a car. And you go into a car dealership. And let's just say that people are nice. They're not those sleazy type of people. They're nice. But maybe you go into a car dealership and you're meeting somebody who maybe is new and inexperienced. And you're telling them you're interested in a car. And instead of them asking you questions and trying to find out, you know, what type of car it is and then giving you information that is important to you, they just ask you why in the question. Okay, what type of car? You say, I don't know, a van, for example, right? I have a family, kids, we're van people. So a van, they go straight to the highest end van or, you know, the van that has all the things that they think you want. Meanwhile, you want the simplest version and you get overwhelmed by everything they're telling you about the van. And you're like, oh my God, I can't make a decision. And you go out. As opposed to you go in, you meet a person who first really listens and asks you, okay, what type of van? What's important for you in that van? What are you looking for? What type of functionality is important? What, you know, what are your criteria in a way to make the decision? And then they take that time, spend, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes with you. You're telling them exactly, okay, well, I want this van. I want simple. I don't like too many electronics. I want it to be whatever, but I want certain functionality. And then after that, they go and show you exactly what you went for, what you came for, right? And then, yes, they might offer certain things like, oh, you mentioned this, this will be good for you and so on. But what they do is they gather information and they then give you every information or the exact, they listen to you, right? And they give you the exact car you wanted because they gathered enough information from you to present you with enough information or to present you to show you exactly what you need so then you can make an, you know, informed decision. And think about those two cases and in which case it's easier to make a decision, right? It's easier to make a purchase decision. So then from this perspective, look at your sales process, how you're talking and communicating with your potential client when they are very close, when they already have a need and they're coming to you saying, like, I have this need, can you help me? How does your sales process look or conversation for them to have enough information to make the best decision for them to fulfill that need, right? Because they already have it. So it's not about being salesy and pushy. Salesy and pushy is when you're trying to force somebody or convince somebody to buy something they don't need. But when they already have a need, they're going to fulfill that need either way, whether they're going to buy from you or somebody else. But you want to show them that you're the best person. Because what if somebody else can't do it and they will be dissatisfied or they'll be too overwhelmed and they will never fulfill the need? So stage number 3 and 4 is the 3 is the beginning, right? The onboarding process. So the client bought, everybody's happy. Now you're onboarding them and then while they're your customer. So with the onboarding process, one thing I want to say is that treat it like a critical part of building your relationship with your customer. When somebody buys, right, they are excited. They're like, oh my God, I've had this problem for this much, or I have this dream for this long, and now I can finally get what I want. Don't lose that excitement. Don't let your client wait too long to hear from you, to onboard them, to start the process. It's kind of like when I look at my corporate, you know, experience, it's like when you're hiring a new team member, right? A new team member for your team, they're excited. If you're not ready to onboard them with everything and you don't have a little process to guide them and tell them about the company and how great it is and how great, you know, how important their role is, if you lose that opportunity within the first couple of weeks, you'll lose their engagement. New team members are the most engaged of your team members ever. And it's the same with your client. They're most engaged client in those beginning stages. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had experiences when I purchased something, whether it was a training program or a product or whatever, and then I was waiting. Right, especially with the training program, because again, like I love to learn. So when I buy training, I want to start now. So if I'm buying something online, I want to be onboarded the same day and I want to get out there and start learning. So when I have to wait days on end sometimes to get that information, I'm actually disappointed. So don't let your client be disappointed from the beginning. Create a onboarding sort of little process where you engage them from as soon as possible to capitalize that on their excitement and their engagement. And then as they become your client, of course, you know, think about how do you can give them more and more value. So outside of, you know, delivering the service that you offer, is there a way you can thank them for their business? Is there a way you can celebrate maybe certain milestones with them and not just birthdays or Christmas and so on? That's great too. But if especially if you're delivering service and they're getting results or whatever the case might be, maybe you can celebrate certain milestones there. Maybe if they're a local client to you, maybe you can take them for lunch or for coffee, whatever that is. And if you're already offering small gifts, or if you want to offer small gifts, the one thing I want to challenge you is think about something, not something kind of out of the box, like, you know, chocolates or whatever, something that you can buy in the store that's not specific to your business. That is always nice, don't get me wrong. But maybe there's something you can give them that's useful to them or that they will enjoy, but it's specific to your business that will also get them remember about you and even generate conversations between them and their network when you're not around. And kind of like a talking point. And one example I have is one of a friends, a realtor friend that I have, is also loves to paint. And she's an amazing painter. So what she does is for most of her clients that buy a house with her, she gifts them a painting of hers. So imagine like how great conversation starter it could be if their clients hang this painting, whatever, in their kitchen or in the living room hallway, doesn't matter. And then they have guests coming around, right? Local guests or whatever coming around and maybe commenting on that painting, saying, hey, that's a great painting. Where did you get it? And they'll be like, yeah, it's my realtor that gave me. Oh, who it is? And so on, right? So that little gift could be working for you without you even realizing it. So I want to challenge you to think about it. Is there a way for you to have gift your clients something that could potentially start those conversations about your business like out of the blue without you needing to do anything? So then let's go to the fifth and sixth stage. So kind of when that first part of the journey ends, and or after, and the sixth one when your client or your customer, you know, is no longer your customer for at least for a certain period of time. So, you know, maybe if you're working like with your clients on a project basis or maybe a program basis, right? Or maybe you have certain packages or like a massage, right? Like when I go to a massage, I have one and then I need to sign up for another one, right? I need to schedule another session. So when you have in those sort of periods of time and certain containers and that container ends, you should always think and have the next step for your client to take. So what is their next step? So if they finished one project with you, is there any other project that could benefit them and that you can always also offer for them, right? If you had a program, is there another program that is a continuation of that or built upon that or whatever it can be that you could offer them because it benefits them, but of course it benefits you because they're becoming your client. So, and even with massage, I have to say, make it easy for your client to come back. So if, you know, I'm going to massage or whatever kind of appointment, hair appointment, I'm always grateful, really, when I get prompted to schedule the next appointment on the spot. Because it's the easiest for me then, right? I'm paying and they're like, oh, okay, let's schedule the next appointment. And I pull up my calendar, I do it, it's done. And I want to come back anyways. If I didn't, I would say, oh, you know, I'll look at it or whatever. But most of the time, like you want to come back. And then you as a business owner, you already know that this client will come at this time, right? As opposed to if you let your client leave and leave it up to them to schedule next appointment, it might take them a while because they come back home and life happens and they have to do this and they have to do that. And they're like, okay, yeah, I will. And that happens to me all the time. It's not like I don't want to schedule my next appointment, but they have, you know, I have my schedule filled and it takes me much longer to go back to the next service than if I did you know, if I schedule my next appointment at that time. And what that happens is, so let's say I will do a massage, let's say therapy. So if I wanted to go to a massage once a month, if I was prompted to schedule, I would probably go like 12 times a year, maybe 11, you know, with the summer. But if I'm not prompted, I'll go 8, for example, because by the time I get home, by the time I actually schedule, I remember to schedule the next appointment, month and a half went or 2 months went. So think about that. Like, how can you offer something of value to your client that becomes the next journey for them with you? Now, of course, there will be clients that will complete that journey and they're not going to be your clients again, ever, or for a long time. But they're still, right, could be your potential word of mouth marketing, you know, advocates, because if they loved working with you, if you made a mark and they remember how amazing it was, they will, you know, again, in conversation with their network, things will come up and they will be talking about you. So think about also a way to keep in touch with your past clients. And I'm not saying all of them, because depending on the business, you might have hundreds of them and it's just impossible. But if you're, you know, if you're just starting, maybe you do keep in touch with all of them, but especially the best ones, the ones that were just amazing to work with, they get amazing results, you had a great relationship. How can you continue that relationship even after they, you know, they finish the relationship, like the business relationship with you? Right? How can you continue that personal relationship? And when you come with this and when you keep in touch, again, that's only not only fulfilling, but it can grow your business even further through the word of mouth marketing. All right. So yeah, this is all I had for you, the 6 stages of the customer journey for you to look at and see if there is any ways you can improve certain. I wanted to spark ideas in your creative mind for your business. And if you are looking into really diving deep into the journey and really thinking strategically and creating a journey that stands out, right? That's like a diamond shining there and attracting, and you don't have that yet, from marketing to after, you know, through when your clients are with you and after, this is something we work on in the Diamond Effect program. And I invite you to join us, because this is one of the main things we do, but not the only thing. So there are some many, many other things that you can benefit from in this program. And if you're interested in knowing how it would look like and what it could do to your business, what kind of results you can get, schedule a free consult with me. You can schedule it through my website, stairwaytoleadership.com. Pick the option for get coaching and schedule it there. And outside of that, have a fantastic week and see you next week in the next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening today. If this podcast resonated with you, please come back. Also, you can leave a review on whatever platform you're listening. And if you have a suggestion, question, or a topic you would like me to talk about, let's get in touch via email. Email me at Maggie@stairwaytoleadership.com. See you in the next episode.